Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with light workers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving from stuck to unstuck, out of fear and into love. I am glad you're here. Because time and distance are no barrier to energy, that means whenever you're listening, no matter how you found us, you're here for a reason. And I hope something you hear in the next hour lights up your day and helps you move forward. I was talking with somebody the other day who said, I'm tired of waiting for my spiritual awakening. Why doesn't it just happen already? And I think a lot of us are waiting for something big to happen, a magical event, an unmissable sign, a huge, obvious, life-altering occurrence that will let us know once and for all that we're on the right path, that will give us absolute certainty about our direction. And I think for a few people, it does happen that way. I hear stories of people, you've heard some stories here, right here on the show, of people whose lives have been completely turned around, completely changed because one big thing blew through their lives and nothing was ever the same again. But what about the rest of us? I'll tell you what I said to the woman who was waiting for her spiritual awakening. You are waking up right now. Right now. You're already in the time of your spiritual awakening. But what you may need help with is shifting your perspective so that you can see, feel, know, embrace what's going on, so that you understand that you are living the change that you're waiting for. You're living the awakening that you're waiting for right now. My guest on today's show is metaphysician, healer, and teacher Lisa Tunney. She's going to share some tools to help us view life from a higher perspective, to gain new awareness, new focus, and the courage to start to break down the blocks that keep us from moving forward. I'll introduce you to Lisa in just a minute, but first, I want to give things away. So, okay, you ready? If you head over to fogcitypsychic.com, you'll see there's a lot of stuff to click on. You can find out about upcoming classes and events. You can get the skinny about what's happening next on this radio show. You can even book a private intuitive session with me if you're looking for a little bit of guidance. You'll also see that the next Out of the Fog Salon is happening this Saturday. The Salon is the super affordable online gallery reading where everybody on the call gets a reading from me and we all have a blast in the process. I look forward to this group call every single month because it is such a high vibration space. It is so much fun. And if you have a question that you'd like my intuitive feedback on, you're very welcome to join us on Saturday. There are details at fogcitypsychic.com. Just click the link for the online gallery reading. And I want to give away a free seat in Saturday's gallery reading. All you have to do is email me, Karen, K-A-R-E-N, at fogcitypsychic.com with your answer to this question, okay? Who would you like to hear interviewed on Out of the Fog? Who would you like to have on as a guest? Who do you know that would be interesting, captivating, who would help empower people to change their lives? Shoot me an email with your answer, and I will choose a lucky winner at random from the entries I receive. And all of your guest suggestions will be taken seriously, so thank you in advance. Email me, Karen, at fogcitypsychic.com with your guest suggestion to enter to win a free seat in Saturday's online gallery reading. And now, Lisa Tunney is a metaphysician with an accessible approach. Her style's been described as Sex and the City meets the Dalai Lama. She holds a bachelor's degree from UC Berkeley and a master's in metaphysics from the American Institute of Holistic Theology. Additionally, she teaches shamanism, Reiki, intuitive development, meditation, and she's a philosopher and author of the upcoming inspirational books, Blossoming Butterfly and The Seed Planter. Through all the avenues of teaching she pursues, Lisa integrates laughter, intuition, storytelling, and most importantly, it's her goal to help guide others to listen to their own inner wisdom. You can find out more about Lisa and her work at lisatunney.com. Lisa, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen. I'm excited to be here.
Are you feeling more like Sex and the City or more like the Dalai Lama today?
I'm feeling very much like the Dalai Lama and Sex in the City.
Wonderful. It's important to integrate, I think, isn't it?
That's right. We'll just see what comes out during this hour.
Now, you have so many pursuits, so many tools. There are so many things that you teach. How did you first discover your interest in all this wonderful stuff?
You know, Karen, we all have various pieces of our life puzzle that create the whole picture. And even when I was a child, at 6 years old, I started seeing the pattern of how my life was shaping. And I was sick for 2 months when I was 6 years old. And I had the flu and strep throat and ear infections. And I missed a lot of school. And I had to go in and out of the doctor's offices, and they could only help me so far. And so I started mixing up what I call potions in the kitchen with my mom's stuff that she had, balsamic vinegar, salt water, so on, and started making these concoctions for making my throat feel better. And these are things that I still use today. And I realize now that I was being downloaded this information at that time, because why would I come up with that on my own? And even later, as a teenager, I started utilizing visualization techniques to manifest certain things. Long before the law of attraction, that term was coined, I would manifest the basket that I wanted or what have you. And I realized later that I could use those tools for healing techniques. However, as a lot of us did that are our age or older, I really didn't want to step out of line and go outside of being normal. And so I hid all my intuitive gifts. I hid all of my healing gifts from everybody else but myself. And around the age of 40, I started my spiritual awakening. And chaos happened in my life where I lost everything. And even through that chaos, I started to see the light within inside of me and started to pay attention to nature and started to see the beauty that surrounded me at every turn. And when that happened, I started seeing the word Reiki all of the time. For about 6 months, I saw the word Reiki. And I tried looking it up. I looked in the dictionary, couldn't find it. I Googled it, couldn't find anything. Asked friends, nobody had heard of it. And then one day I was walking down the street. I lived in San Francisco, and I was walking down Market Street, and there was a metaphysical shop there, and I felt guided to look at the outer flyers that were posted on the window, and I saw what said Reiki. So I walked in, and I thought it was pronounced Reiki. So I walked in, and I asked the lady, hey, can you tell me what this Reiki thing is? And she said, oh, you mean Reiki. It's hands-on energy healing. And when she said that, I lifted my hands up in a V-shape for victory, and I said, that's it. And she started laughing at me, and I was just so exuberant. I knew that I would be a Reiki practitioner, not knowing anything beyond what she had just said to me. And I ran home, I looked online, and this time Google presented a lot of things about Reiki. And as I did my discovery about Reiki, I had found out that that it's suggested not to drink while you're in attunement, getting in attunement for the Reiki process. And I had been drinking quite heavily for a number of years until 3 weeks prior to this event. And I realized that the universe was dangling the carrot in front of me without letting me go pursue it until I was actually ready for it. Wow. And when I was ready, the doors opened up for me. And so I found a teacher in Berkeley across the bay from where I was living at the time, and she was lovely, and she invited me to a Reiki share where we all sat in circle and had mini sessions with each other. So whether you were a Reiki master or a beginner like me or somewhere in between, we could all experience 10, 15 minutes of this healing energy. And I went first, and when the hands were put on my body, it was astounding to me that these warm hands were sending this energy through my liver, which was astounding because I had just quit drinking. And I hadn't told these people that, but they knew intuitively to go into the space. And I was healed really at the core in this one little tiny session. And after that group session was over, the teacher said, well, I'm not going to be teaching for the next 6 months because I'm going to be taking an acupuncture class. And she said, thank you very much. I send you blessings, and sent us on our way. So I was a little distraught because I thought I finally found what I was looking for. And it's funny because the universe always has a way of putting people together. And that very evening, one of the people at the event said, hey, does anybody need a ride back to San Francisco? And I raised my hand, and he and I walked back to his car, and he told me about a beautiful teacher in San Francisco. And her name is Anna Dorian. And when I got home and saw her on my computer, I knew that she was my teacher. And she did indeed become my teacher, and I went through all of the classes with her. And also, she, at one point, I think before my Reiki 2 attunement, she said to me, you know, Lisa, I think that you're going to be doing shamanism. And I said, I think you're right. And I also said, but I'm not ready yet. I just want to deal with Reiki right now. And a few months later, she said, have you ever tried journey work? And I had always been under the impression that doing shamanic journeying meant that you had to use some sort of narcotic to go into the trance space, and that didn't interest me at all. And she assured me that that was not the case, that we actually move into the journey space by the beat of a drum. And when she said that, that trigger went off in my head, and I knew that was for me. And I found, I found one main teacher, but I've gone through classes with many, many teachers, and just fell in love with this practice, because in the shamanic journey, we can ask questions to the universe and get the answers right then and there. And it's such a beautiful practice to be able to entrust our own inner wisdom to find whatever answers we're looking for. And so through these two practices, I discovered just the beauty of our universe.
Wow. And what I'm hearing there, and I have a curious question to ask you in a minute, but what I'm hearing there is that thing about how you are presented with opportunities when you are ready to see them, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you walked by that store 1,000 times, right? You probably Googled Reiki 1,000 times, and it wasn't until you were ready that you were able to see it. Here's what I have to ask. Now, you and I both lived in San Francisco. I didn't know you then. Was that store the Crystal Way on Market Street?
It was.
Okay, so here's something I don't know if I've ever said on the air before. When I woke up, I didn't wake up to it because I've been all weird like this my whole life, but when I realized I had to do something about this whole intuitive thing I've got going on, I found my teacher, Matthew Engel. He was someone who was using some space at the Crystal Way, and the classes that I went to where I had my first, oh my gosh, I might be intuitive experiences for real, were above the Crystal Way. And so that's really interesting that you and I together were on that same street, connected with that same shop, and yet didn't know each other.
Because we weren't ready to yet.
Yeah.
And when we were, it just manifested. And it's funny because, you know, as a kid, this story goes along with what we're talking about. As a kid, I saw the movie Star Wars, and it came out in 1977, and my father took my brother and I to the drive-in theater, and we absolutely loved it. From that first second that that music started by John Williams, boom, ba 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 ba, you know, and it goes on, everybody in the audience just was screaming with joy. We were just so excited. It was so new. And then the next day, my dad took us home, and we said to my mom and stepdad, you have to take us to see Star Wars again. It's so good. And the same reaction happened. Now, I had seen Star Wars many times as a child, many, many times. It's a wonderful action-adventure film. But then I hadn't seen it for about 10 years. And a few years ago, I saw it on HBO, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get my bowl of popcorn. I'm going to sit here and watch a little Luke Skywalker action. And as I watched it this time, I kept saying, oh, my God, oh, my God. Oh, my God, the whole 2 hours I was saying that, because now I recognized it as a spiritual film, which I had never seen before. There's so many metaphors for spirituality in that film, but I wasn't ready to recognize that when I was 10 years old. But in my 40s, I could see that Obi-Wan Kenobi was his spirit guide, and that he was on a journey of his life. So Luke Skywalker in the first film was this energetic kid who wanted to be the hero. And in the second film, he was dealing with his shadow self and insecure, unsure of himself, and had to learn how to integrate the light and the dark. And in the third film, he's the enlightened master. And I find that we're all on that same path. But anyway, my point of saying that story is that we only see what we want to see when we're ready to see it.
Yes.
Things can be presented in front of our face. Like you just said, I could have walked by the crystal way 10,000 trillion times, but until I was ready to see that sign, I didn't notice it.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly right. Wow. One of the things that happened when you and I met each other, at least I feel this way, is that I felt a kind of an instant connection with you and your work. And we've gone on to do some teaching together, and we're going to be teaching together. Oh my gosh, this class that I'm used to saying, oh, the class is next month. Do you know what? It starts next week.
I know.
Yay, hey, we're teaching a class next week. Do you want to say a little bit about our joint venture that we're teaching?
Karen and I are proud to be teaching the Inviting Change series, which is happening every Wednesday. Well, Wednesday evening for us. It's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And anyone from around the globe can attend, of course. It's going to be a telecourse, and it will be recorded. So if you're not able to attend during the times that we are teaching it live, not to worry. You can listen to it later on recording. And basically, we're just presenting various tools that we can utilize to help invite change into our lives. We have, from our egoic perception, we see life as a stressful, oh my God, I'm waking up, I have to go to work, I have to feed the kids, I gotta go to the store, you know, all these things come up and we get stressed out. But when we calm our minds and utilize these really simple and awesome tools to see life from a higher perspective, then we can shift our way of thinking and see that our life is actually an incredible gift and a powerful instrument for us to pursue our spiritual selves.
And the class is a total of 4 sessions. These are classes where we share practical tools, we share guided meditation, we laugh our heads off. Lisa tells amazing stories. This was a class that we taught last year that we're bringing back again this year because people want it. People are ready for it. It's a time of a lot of change. The first class in the series, you guys, Lisa and I are offering absolutely free. My goal is to get everyone in the entire world to come to the first free class. I don't, it might be a little optimistic because there's probably a few people maybe who might not hear about it. But I'd love everyone in the entire world to come to the first class. It's absolutely free. It's called Inviting Change from Fear to Grace. And you can get details about that at fogcitypsychic.com/change. Okay. To sign up for the absolutely free class. And then we hope you'll be so in love with us that you continue for the other three. But the first one, absolutely free. And that's, Lisa and I want to give that to you because we love you and we care what happens to you and how you're doing. Okay.
And I'd like to add that that first class, a lot of times people offer first classes as selling tools. And yes, of course, we would love for you to take our next three classes. But in that first class, we actually do have tools that you can use for yourself, for your own spiritual journey, to practice on your own. So I hope that you're all able to make it because it is a fabulous, fabulous class that we're offering.
It's a real thing. You're right. I hadn't thought of it that way, Lisa, but you're right. I've been kind of tricked into going, you know, sometimes you go to those free things and it isn't content. It's like you just gave an hour of your life to a commercial.
Right.
And that's yucky. I really, Lisa and I have tried to create a yuck-free zone.
So that's no yuck here.
No. What kind of things will people get from that free class? There's a great exercise about pinpointing fear in your body. Can you say a little bit of? I love that exercise.
You know, everything in our 3D reality is a metaphor for where we are spiritually. So, actually, I'm going to say something first before I go into that. But just to give you an idea of what I mean about that, I teach a nature and meditation class. So we're out in nature and we practice various forms of meditation. And it's to help expand our five physical senses so that our sixth sense, our intuitive sense, can be enhanced and awakened. And one of those exercises is to hear what is around you at that given moment. And one of those exercises is to see what is around you at any given moment. And one time, I taught that class, and a man, he kept seeing dirty diapers or dog poop or whatever. Are you having a poopy time right now? And he was going through a divorce. And so he had manifested those things in his life. So that is how that 3D reality was a metaphor for his life in that moment. On another occasion, I taught it where a girl heard laughter so loudly. None of the rest of us heard the laughter. And she couldn't believe we didn't hear it. And I asked her, do you need a little more laughter in your life? And she said, yes, I get it. That is why she heard it. So everything in this 3D reality that we're perceiving in any given moment is where we are spiritually. And this exercise that we're practicing on the first class on Wednesday is a beautiful tool where we energetically pinpoint where something that's bothering us is in our bodies. So, for example, if the kids are acting up, or you lost your job, or your husband is driving you crazy, or whatever it is, you can actually ask your body, where is this energy located in my body? And then from there, we do a few things to explore that insight, and then release that energy so that we can move on. So it's a very exciting practice, and I hope that you'll all join us to learn about it and practice it on your own.
It's a wonderful exercise, and I think what I like about that is that a lot of us, and when I say a lot of us, I mean, you know, me, get stuck in, you know, if all you see around you is the steaming mound of dirty diapers, you think, well, that's it. I've manifested my reality. I guess this is my reality. Serves me right. I would be the one who sees the pile of dirty diapers. Guess there's nothing I can do about that. When the truth is, Lisa, that seeing the mound of dirty diapers is just the beginning. Hearing the laughter is just the beginning. Then the fun begins. The adventure begins. How do I shift that? I see what's in front of me. I'm open to it. It's really there. How do I then begin to shift that energy and connect with life on a higher perspective? Now, Lisa, we're about
to
go.
Absolutely right.
Oh, you think I'm right? Thank you.
Of course you are.
we're about to go to break, and so I would remind you that you're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Lisa Tunney. Her website is lisatunney.com. That's Lisa T-U-N-N-E-Y, lisatunney.com. When we come back after this break, Lisa has a breathing exercise to share with us. We'll be talking about looking at life from a higher perspective, and there will be no yuck. It's a yuck-free zone. We'll be right back after this.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
License and registration.
But I'm walking.
Do you want to upset an officer of the law?
No, sir.
Good. I pulled you over today for littering.
I didn't litter.
Wow. That's what they all say. Unfortunately, I saw you drop a pair of thunder thighs a few blocks back. Probably happened as you were biting into that apple you're holding.
How'd you know they're my thunder thighs?
Well, my young friend, I'd like to say 2 years in the police academy helped figure it out. But between us, it was smallstep.gov.
Smallstep.gov?
Yep, Rooney. It's this site with tons of easy ways to lose weight. Some steps are so easy, people don't realize they're doing them. Like you taking small step number 83, snack on fruits. Go to smallstep.gov, you'll see. You can drive off now.
I'm still walking.
Take a small step to get healthy at smallstep.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And now back to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and my guest on today's show is metaphysician, author, healer, teacher, and fun, Lisa Tunney. You can find out more about Lisa and her work at lisatunney.com. That's Lisa, T-U-N-N-E-Y.com. Lisa, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Well, some people, you know, if they don't do a good job, I just kick them off. I mean, we go to break and then that's it. They're never heard of again. But I think you're doing quite well. We were talking a little bit before the break about how what we see in our environment, what we pay attention to, is a reflection of the reality that we're creating for ourselves. And I'm wondering what that has to do then with gratitude. Because if I'm supposed to be grateful all the time, and if I'm supposed to be so all fired, cheerful and receptive and joyous, and yet I find myself surrounded by dirty diapers, or I find myself in a situation that I didn't want to attract to me, how can I find that gratitude, that receptiveness in that situation?
That is a very good question. I know for myself, in my adult life, I have had maybe 10 headaches in my entire life. When I get them, they are migraines. The first time I had it, I was a student at Berkeley, and we had a lot of papers due and a lot of final exams to study for, and this migraine was so intense that I had to hold one eye in front of with my hand so that I could see the professor, and I did that for a month. It was really brutal. Well, that migraine came back this last month. It's almost gone, but this time I have moved through some of my spiritual awakening. So I was taking a walk, and my migraine started pounding, and I thought to myself, okay, I'm in pain. I'm going to look at this from an observational standpoint. What is this bringing to me? Because chaos always brings the light. There's a beautiful picture. You probably have seen it on Facebook or somewhere out there in internet land, where there's a person sitting in meditation with cracks in their body. But through those cracks, the light starts pouring out. Mm. So when I looked at this migraine throughout this month, what is it that I need to learn from this experience? Why have I manifested this headache? And many things have come up why this has occurred. First of all, I know that my back, I get them because my shoulder blades specifically and my neck and shoulders get really knotted up. And that's called referred pain when the source of the pain is in one place in your body, but you're feeling it somewhere else. So I have getting massages once or twice a week for the last month. And I realized when I started doing that I used to get massages once a month. And in the last 5 years, money was so tight for me. There was just no possibility that I could do that. And I wasn't able to take care of my body in that way. And now that money has manifested again, I have decided that it's really important for me to look at my body and make sure that I'm treating my body as the temple that it is. And so getting those massages is helping that area of my body. But it's not just that. It's another download that I received was to start doing yoga again so that I could stretch the muscles in my body. So I pull out my yoga mat every morning and I do the exercises and I feel really aligned with the divine. And as I am bettering my posture through these yoga positions, I feel that is a metaphor for being not only in alignment in my body, but in alignment with the divine. And then I received another download through this experience that in the last several months, I've been eating so much chocolate. It's incredible. I mean, it's fine to have a piece of chocolate, but I was eating 2 handfuls of chocolate every single day, if not more.
Chocolate.
And I realized that was a replacement for me for finding love. Of course, our energetic being is divine love at all times, but my perception of this in this egoic body is that, oh, my partner is not showing up because I'm replacing it with this chocolate. Mm-hmm. And as I let that chocolate go, the next day I started shaking because I was literally jonesing for this chocolate. And I thought, wow, this is like quitting alcohol. It's pretty amazing how this was affecting me. And so this migraine has brought me these gifts of recognizing the beauty of this body that I have. And I am in complete gratitude for the awakening experiences. Also, I had a heart opening experience because of this migraine. I my head was splitting and I was thinking, okay, well, I am going to open my heart and listen to my heart and allow all the good things to flow in. And as I did that, I energetically felt my heart chakra expanding and vibrating with love. And I literally had a tear in my eye because I just felt so joyful. So that was a beautiful experience that was manifested because I got a migraine.
Wow.
So we have an opportunity. We can either see that migraine or whatever the chaos it is as a terrible, horrible thing. Oh me, oh my, I have this migraine. Or we can go out and investigate ourselves. Why did I manifest this? What is the beauty that this situation is bringing to me? Because everything is a gift.
Mm.
We just have to get past that, the oh me, oh my scenario that we have written up for ourselves to figure it out. And that's where the joy in this life takes place, where we can even say, wow, I have a migraine. Isn't that awesome? Yay, you know?
Well, and not be sarcastic or deluded that because I'm sarcastic sort of naturally. I don't know if it's genetic or what the deal is, but I'm naturally sarcastic. And so sometimes I get tripped up with the gratitude because I'll go, you know, yay, my leg fell off. Yay, I'm so grateful. Now I have one leg and I look like a pirate. I'm really grateful. And I get to that horrible sarcastic place. And what I'm doing is I'm hurting myself more. I'm not, that isn't real gratitude. That's me continuing to beat myself over the head.
Right? That is true. And, you know, we can do that. And that, all that is doing when we're doing that is suppressing that energy, storing it up inside of our bodies for it to manifest in some other way.
Yes.
You know, I was mad at my parents I didn't realize I was mad at my parents. They told me that I had to pay for my own college education. And I was stunned by that. I wasn't expecting that. But when it was happening, I thought, well, I'm paying for my education, which means I own it. That's fantastic. Great. Well, 30 years later, I was moving through my awakening, and one of the things that came up for me was that I've been holding on to this anger for so many years that I wasn't even aware of. And I started punching the air, and I just wanted to claw anything that I could get my hands on. I didn't do that, but I just was so angry. And when I finally, 30 years later, released that energy of the anger, I could sit down and genuinely be grateful for my parents, because then I could say, yes, I do genuinely owe my education. And yes, I was able to do this with my own being on my own. I mean, that's an incredible thing. Once I shifted my perception and released that anger that I, like I said, I was holding on to for so long.
Wow. And you have, there's a great tool that I know you wanted to share with the listeners for bringing yourself. I think of this as a tool to bring ourselves back to the present moment, bringing ourselves out of that place where maybe we're projecting forward, I'm so angry and I'll always be angry, or projecting backwards, I can't believe that 30 years ago, how dare they, I go, oh boy. But to bring us right into the present moment. I believe, Lisa, that it's in the present moment that healing happens, that transformation happens. I believe that's when we connect with the divine, is in the present moment. Can you maybe share that breathing exercise? Say a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. I call it taking three breaths. And how it started, I was working with my two little nieces and my nephew, who were aged 3, 5, and 9 at the time. And, you know, kids get a little cranky with each other. I hate you. Ah! You know, all of that energy. And we got to the point where I would say, you know what to do. And they would take three deep breaths. And with them, I would have them lift their arms slowly with each inhalation above their heads. And then as they were exhaling, it would lower their hands. And it was fun and it was joyful. And within three breaths, after that had taken place, they would all say, I love you, to each other. And that would shift their awareness level to such a degree that they were playing and laughing and happy with each other. Three simple breaths. If three young children can shift with three simple breaths, so can we. And you and I talk about that exercise in one of our classes. It is such a beautiful practice, just taking three conscious breaths where you feel the breath moving in through your mouth or through your nose, down into your lungs, and you're paying attention to how your body feels in that moment. You're not checking in with a laundry list of what you have to do for that day. You're just paying attention to this universal life force that's flowing through you, energizing you, and it does shift your consciousness that quickly. We have a tendency to think that meditation has to be 20 minutes. We have to say, om, but we don't.
Yeah.
It can be three breaths.
Mm. And usually we don't pay attention to our breathing unless something's wrong, right? We have a cold or we have a little asthma or we can't, right? We're coughing, whatever it is. And allowing yourself to pay attention to the thing that's actually working, right? Paying attention to what keeps you going. It's our breath.
And you're right. We have a tendency to only breathe into our upper chest area. If you look at babies, they're breathing full yogic breath with their tummy is popping out. They look pregnant as they're breathing in and exhaling that wonderful energy. But at the age of about 2 or 3, fear starts kicking in because we've been listening to our parents and society, and they've been teaching us, oh, you know, be quiet and don't listen to your intuition. It's not intentional. Nobody's doing it on purpose. But we have keep teaching it over and over with each generation. And so we start this fear thing and we only breathe in our chest. But if you breathe to the full capacity of your lung, that is when the life force starts moving through our body and we just really do feel more energized. It's quite incredible.
And I like that exercise because it, at least for me, it has the power to shift me right where I am. So if I'm sitting in the office, if I'm stuck in traffic, if I'm in line at the grocery store, if I'm on hold with the technical support person and I've been on hold for 30 minutes and they're not going to understand what my problem is anyway, I can use that technique to bring myself right back to where I am. And to me, what's at the base of that is I am here now in this moment. I am alive. I am aware. And now I'm receptive, right? Now I'm open. Let's see what happens.
Right. You know, and some people complain, oh, I have this bad stuff happening. But without the so-called bad stuff, we wouldn't be able to experience the joy that we have. And so if we can take a 3 breaths and just shift our way of thinking and think, and gosh, I get to feel while I'm manifested on this planet. Wow, that is awesome. Because it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you're sort of like your tagline thing on your website says guiding people to their inner wisdom. What does that mean and how do you do it?
You know, we have a tendency to put people up on pedestals. You know, they have more experience. They're a movie star. They're a teacher. They're a politician. They must know what they're talking about. And I always teach that we are all different leaves on the same tree of life. We are all part of the divine. The divine flows through every single thing in the universe, and that includes you and me and everyone else out there. And as such, when we take the pieces of every single teacher that we've had and take the pieces from the books that we've read and take the pieces from nature and our friends and family that speak to us and then throw out the rest that don't speak to us, then we create this wonderful recipe that is our own. So, for example, a lot of Reiki teachers out there say you have to hold your hands on the body for 5 minutes, and then you put it on the next place for 5 more minutes, and you have 12 places you can put them on, and that's it. But I always say, listen to your own inner wisdom, because your intuition knows exactly where to put your hands on that body. Maybe it's not in one of the 12 places that we're supposed to, in quotation marks, place our hands. If you're being guided to put your hands on the knee, go ahead and put it on the knee, because that's where it needs to be. Your intuition knows what to do. And I know for myself, when I don't listen to my intuition, I laugh. one time I was in the metro in Paris, and I wanted to, I had two choices. I could take this train or this, or A train or B train. And I wanted to take A train because A train is cooler. And the universe kept saying, take B train, take B train. Oh, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to take A train. What I didn't know is that that particular line, they were on strike. And I had to wait an hour, and I was so smashed. Like a sardine for an hour on the platform as the next train arrived. And so I couldn't leave to take the train. And so as this was happening, I started laughing at myself because if I had listened to the universe, this probably wouldn't have happened. And so that was an educational moment for me. So pay attention to your own inner wisdom. We all know what is right. Down deep inside, the voice of ego, the voice of spirit is the soft voice that says, when you're at a crossroads, turn right, turn right, turn right. And it keeps repeating that same message over and over again until you do it. The voice of ego, on the other hand, is the petulant child that's very loud and says, oh my God, do I turn right or do I turn left or do I turn around or do I go straight ahead or what do I do, what do I do? And then that voice has to come outside of the body and will say, Karen, what would you do in this situation? John, what would you do in this situation? When all you have to do is quiet the mind to listen to the turn right, turn right, turn right.
And I love,
there you have it.
I love that it's about guiding people to their inner wisdom. One of the things that I love about your style of teaching is that it's very much about, it's part of why I like teaching with you, because we have the same idea, which is that what we're here to do is shine a light on the gifts you already possess, shine a light on the power you already have, right? So that you find your own way. To
right.
peace, to gratitude, to transformation, to empowerment, to all that good stuff, right? And so I love that your sort of your tagline is guiding people to their inner wisdom, not your inner wisdom or mine, but to their own.
Right.
Yeah.
We all have our spiritual gifts. We all manifested here on Earth to explore this wonderful package we've been presented with, and we all have an opportunity to do so and leave mediocrity behind. And whatever that means for you, who cares if it's different? That's why we're here, is to be different and explore whatever it is, whether that means we're an astronomer checking out the stars in the sky or we're down here on Earth gardening in our backyards. It's all perfect. Whatever it is for you, it's part of the divine wisdom that is flowing through you.
Is that part of what, when you talk about living life from a higher perspective, is that part of what that is, to see the hand of the divine in whatever it is?
Yes. For example, I was sitting, I had volunteered to take notes for someone at a meeting who couldn't be there that day. And these women worked with helping young girls. And we were watching a video of a woman who was telling everybody how she had her master's degree in women's studies, and when she went out to get a job, the woman who was the potential employer said, you'll never get a job with that degree. And she went home and she said, yes, I will. I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to help others explore their own careers. And so she wrote this book, and she's talking about it on this video. So the video was finished. The women in the room with me said, oh, can you believe that potential employer? She was so rude. And I said, ladies, I think you missed the point. And I felt all of them stare at me. Daggers were flying at me. Oh, my gosh, who is this person to tell me this thing? And I said, that potential employer manifested on Earth to be mean to this woman, so that it would kick her into gear to write the book, which is what she was always meant to do. That person was her gift.
Mm.
And when I said that, these women were stunned. And they said, you certainly have a positive spin on things. And I said, oh, yes, I do. Because everything in life is a gift. We just have to shift our consciousness to see the higher perspective of every situation to recognize what that gift is.
And some of it's about knowing yourself. That hearing the story about that woman reminds me, someone told me once that I would never be successful because I have no sense of humor. And that,
I don't know you very well.
No. I don't know if I was like having an off day or where that came from. But what the biggest gift of that to me is that part of what happened to me as I was growing up is there were a lot of secrets and it was hard for me to know what was true and was not really true, because I would look at something, see that it was true, and someone would tell me, no, that's not really true. We don't talk about that. We don't, right? And so what this woman gave me was a huge gift, because she said something to me and I knew it wasn't true. And I was able to have the experience of listening to her, and I nodded politely and everything. And then I left and I was like, wow. So maybe authority figures don't know everything. Right?
That's right.
And so that was a huge gift. It still cracks me up. So it's also, I got a good laugh out of it, which is interesting for someone with no sense of humor. But it was a tremendous gift for me, because it allowed me to affirm something I knew to be true about myself.
Right. And we can also, at the same time, we have the opportunity to feel compassion for that woman who said, you're not very funny. My impression is that she, from her physical perspective, she's still in fear. So she feels that she needs to negate everybody else. So when we're moving through spiritual awakening, there will be a lot of naysayers out there saying, no, you can't do that. But that gives us an opportunity to, A, feel compassion for these people, and B, recognize why we have manifested these people to, because they're mirroring us in some way. And C, it's also an opportunity to bypass that information and say, no, I am part of the divine. I'm a rock star. Woohoo! You know?
Yes, and then I went on to be a rock star. Oh, no, I didn't. No, that wasn't.
Yes, you are.
Well, not the kind with like the electric guitar and the tight leather pants and the groupies. Not that kind.
I'd love to see it.
Now, as we're getting to the end of our time, can you tell people what they can find on your website? You write a blog, Lisa, that knocks my socks off. There's a ton of great resources on your site. Can you say a little bit about what people can connect with through your site and how they can work with you?
Absolutely. I offer intuitive guidance, intuitive workshops, guided meditations. I mentioned the nature walk meditations. Shamanic journeying is a big part of my practice. I also have a Awakening the Divine Feminine group every month, and Reiki. I teach Reiki and distant Reiki. So whether I'm in Sedona, whether you're in Sedona and would like to participate in any of these sessions in live person, or if you would like to have any of these readings or classes online, I'm here to offer that to you. And as Karen mentioned, I have actually three blogs, but there's one specifically that is metaphysically based that is connected to my website. So if you were to go to lisatani.com, on the upper right-hand corner, there's a link to my blog, and it's always something that is spiritually inspiring. I also have a monthly newsletter that I post that not only talks about what I'm offering each month, but the very first thing is some inspirational story. And you're welcome to check out my e-news on lisatani.com as well, and check out the library of past newsletters that I have posted.
Wonderful. Lisa, thank you so much for being on the program today. I cannot wait to connect with you for this class. Lisa and I are teaching the Inviting Change series again this year. The first class in the series is absolutely free. That's our gift to you. I'm not kidding when I say I want everyone in the world to come to the class. You can sign up for the free class on Lisa's site at lisatani.com/telecourses, or actually go to lisatani.com, click the little telecourses button. You can also find a big link on the homepage at fogcitypsychic.com. Take that gift, come to class, get some good stuff, and start changing your life. Lisa, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to sharing our class experience next week together.
Oh, me too. Thank you very much. That was Lisa Tunney. Her website is lisatunney.com. And that's all the time we have for today. If you want to enter to win a free seat in Saturday's online gallery reading, email me to let me know who you would like to hear interviewed on this show. My email address is Karen, K-A-R-E-N, at fogcitypsychic.com. Next week, Australian intuitives Kay and Dr. Michael are returning to the show. This will be their debut on Empower Radio, but they are old friends of the Out of the Fog show, and they'll be talking about the butterfly effect, how small changes can make a huge difference in your life and the lives of others. Thank you for listening today. Together, we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.